Welcome to the Careering into Motherhood podcast with me, Jane Johnson. Careering into Motherhood is about connection, community, and coaching. Our largest community sits over on Facebook, where we have over 11,000 members, and they connect with each other, share ideas and challenges, pretty much anything that they are facing as women with children who work. And our community is supported by our valuable network of over 60 professional coaches who share their expertise with our community. If you head over to our website, you'll see that we actually have the largest library of resources to help working mums navigate almost anything that they face throughout their lives. From parenting send children to changing careers, returning to work after parental leave, we've got articles, free webinars, free downloadable tools, and this podcast is one of the other ways you can learn more about what our coaches offer. So if you're looking for help with any of these topics and more, check out our directory of coaches over on our website, www.careeringintomotherhood.com. Now that you know more about us, let's get into today's interview. My guest today is Georgina Gray. And as we'll hear in a moment, Georgina is a professional coach, but her approach is a little bit different from what you might expect. There's no sitting on Zoom or in an air-conditioned office. Georgina prefers to get out and about with her clients, and as we'll discuss in a moment, there are some real benefits, both physical and in terms of the progress that she sees her clients making towards their goals. Georgina, welcome to the Careering into Motherhood podcast.
I know at the moment we're both sitting in four walls, which is not your normal habitat, let's say. You have obviously you're a coach, but you have a slightly different way of coaching clients. Mm. Perhaps you could just talk a little bit about that and brief introduction to yourself.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. So my business is called Walk With Me because I like to do my coaching on walks in nature, because I find it to be a really powerful way of working, not just for me. I know that I work my best when I'm outside, when I'm moving my body, I get into flow, but also for clients, I see it really works for them in so many ways, which I think we're going to dive into in a bit more detail.
Yeah.
But I'm also interested, I know you're meant to be asking the questions, but the fact you've just run the London Marathon, which is an epic achievement. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I was just thinking about it in terms of getting outside, moving your body. Obviously, this time of year, your training has all been throughout the UK winter and spring. So you've been outside, I'm guessing, in all weathers, and doing your training. And I just wondered how you felt from doing that, and if you've noticed any changes, if you've noticed it's given you more space as a mum, has it had any impact on running the business of Careering into Motherhood?
I was just
quite interested
one.
In that yeah. as a starter.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So I am the kind of person who I need to leave the house at least once a day. Anyway, I have to kind of get out, otherwise I go stir crazy. But as you and I have discussed previously, and I know you're, you know, very familiar with this with your clients, finding time to do that, you know, go for a walk where you just have a kind of free head and also fit in running the business and, you know, being a mum and doing all the other things. I also have a dog who needs walking. Was really challenging. And actually, I started obviously taking longer walks during lockdown, and would say I'm relatively active, but I just really struggled to fit it all in. And then I had run a couple of marathons before, and what I love about running is, in theory, all you need is a pair of trainers, and you don't have to wait for the time, you know. It's not like doing a gym class or something like that, or needing to wait for a team. You can just put your trainers on and go. And so that started working for me, and you know, it's a cliche, but it is true, everyone says it. I just felt better after that initial period of, yeah, there's the lumbering around, and when you're out, you know, I was out of shape, I hadn't done running for a long time. But yeah, it is that virtuous circle where you start to feel better, you get the endorphins and so on, and so you do it a bit more. And we live relatively close to each other. As you know, I did quite a lot of my training around Richmond Park, which is just a beautiful place to be able to go and take yourself off to. So yes, that's it. But what about you? I mean, would you say you've always been an outdoorsy type?
Absolutely. I feel more myself outside. I feel good when I'm outside. I sort of have a whole body yearning sometimes
really
to get out. I think it comes from deep within me. But I think it's the spaciousness, the expansiveness.
Yeah.
When you're in nature, it just feels calming, grounding. I think the ability to connect to a bigger picture, to think in different ways. As you said at the beginning, you're not within four walls, you're not constrained by that. And I really notice that with clients. It's like it's the freeingness, the freedom, and then the fluidity of movement and fluidity of conversation. You just get into flow in a different way. And, you know, I'd be interested with you and the business, and like what I see is it generates new ideas for people. So
definitely
being able to take a problem on a walk or a run, or sort of let your mind wander. When I did my coaching course, we were taught a technique, which is literally like you don't try and overthink something, but you just let your mind wander. And I know the wonderful organization Street Wisdom, you know, it's the methodology behind how they work as well. What can you be inspired by? How, when you sort of tune in to what's around you, and that is different, whether it's on the streets or in Richmond Park, how can that inspire you, and what connections can you make? And there's something, I mean, there's lots of science behind, I don't claim to understand exactly the way it works, but there's something about when we're sat and we're at a desk and we're hunched over, we're sort of disconnecting head from body. And I remember an old coach of mine years ago sort of saying that most of the world functions from the eyebrows up. And that's where the world of work in general has tended to happen. It's very much in our heads. And when we get outside and when we move, we start to connect up head and body more, and we get more into this amazing resource we have in our body of all the feelings, all the data, this massive sensory system. And so what comes is much more feeling-based, emotional, intuitive sense of what's needed and what's right. And I think sometimes maybe in that motherhood space, when it becomes a lot too much and you're so busy, you can kind of get lost and get disconnected from what your true self is trying to tell you.
It's really true. It's really, and I remember on I used to try and do the long run on Saturdays, which is integral part of marathon training. You must get that long run done. So I'd try and get it done on a Saturday, ideally Saturday morning. But I'm very good at procrastinating. And when you're in the house, you know, I would be like, I'm going to go. I'm just 10 minutes and I'm off. But then you find all these other things to do. And it's almost like, as, you know, when you're running a home or you're a member of a family or a household, there's always stuff that keeps you there. There's always more that you can do, isn't there? There's always washing to be done, stuff to be put away, et cetera, et cetera. And it, you know, sometimes I had to just go, right, that's it. I need to switch off. I need to leave this and all behind and get out there. And it's quite funny. I had coaching, running coaching via the Nike training thing, Nike app. And they talked very early on about when you start your run, if you're stressed, if you're holding tension, tightness anywhere, it plays out in how you breathe and how you run, you know, how your foot falls and so on and so forth. So it's, you know, you have to almost let go of all of that to get into the rhythm. And for me, sometimes that took 15 minutes or even longer. Sometimes it took kind of a 5 kilometer, which for me is half an hour, to get rid of all that, I guess, sort of physical baggage that I felt I was carrying. And then when you're into the longer runs, that's when, you know, I never went out with a, right, oh, you know, I need to sort this problem out while I'm running. Quite the opposite. But when you've got rid of all of that tension and so on, that's when things come in to your mind. When, I mean, there are quite a few things that I either crazy ideas that I came up with or things that I felt like I cracked during, you know, problems I'd solved during the runs. So yeah, it's mind-blowing.
That's fascinating.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder, did you notice over time that you got into that place quicker when you went on those long runs? Or was it always this sort of 15 minutes of having to shed all the stress and the baggage, I think you called it?
Yeah, I think it depends on what else. I mean, it depends on so much when you're running. You can have a really great run and the next day you can have a terrible run. And that is, I think that is all part of it, Georgina. That is all how you're feeling in your mind and in your body. And sometimes those two things collide and work really well. Sometimes they collide and, you know, work terribly. So yeah, I don't think there is, every run is unique. That's what they say. So you can, that's why, you know, really experienced marathon runners can have a real shocker. You know, it's not a given, so you have to kind of respect it. But this sense of being out, I mean, goodness, the case in point is I could never be a treadmill runner. I know plenty of people do, and plenty of people feel they have to be because, you know, they work long hours, they come home, it's dark or whatever, and they have to get on a treadmill. But for me, just for me, that is not where I just couldn't do it. I mean, I have massive respect for people who do, because I couldn't. But to your point then, I clearly do get, it's not just the act of running, it's the act of being out in nature.
Yeah.
And so when you take clients, you know, when you're going out, I mean, I'm assuming actually two things. You, first of all, you must be making time for yourself to get out into nature and so on. But when you're working with clients out in the open air, I mean, is it literally a sort of going for a walk and like talking to a friend, or do you have, is there a sort of structure to your outdoor coaching?
Good question. I mean, it depends if it's one-to-one or group. One-to-one is a bit more of a free space. Group is a bit more structured, but there's generally always a topic. If it's a group session, there's generally always a topic. And I bring, so I was trained to do stuff inside, and I've always worked quite creatively. And so I've literally translated the creative exercises I would do in an indoor session to the outdoors. And it just makes it so interesting to see how it is possible. There's always a little bit of resistance in it. Can I actually do that? But I think that's part of the challenge. And then you start to realize you can use nature and you can use metaphor of what's around you, and you can play with the pace of movement and walking, and you can sort of dance in the moment and see a deer in Richmond Park or see a sunrise, and it's got some significance to the conversation. So there's some really lovely ways of incorporating what you're seeing and experiencing around you into what's the meaning of that and how is it helping me understand stuff better. And I think it is a bit looser, but it's the same type of thing. You are journeying together, and there's something really lovely about walking side by side. And that's part of the benefit of it's less confrontational, it's, you know, it's less eye contact, it's collaborative in the nature of being side by side. And what the research shows is that allows people to speak more truthfully in a way and share more openly and maybe go a bit deeper, quicker. And you know, I really encourage it in terms of challenging conversations. So I don't know if listeners have teenage children, but I always sort of hear, mine aren't that age yet, but I always hear, you know, that's the stage when people often get a dog. So they're sort of forced to go for walks so they can have some of those difficult conversations with their teenagers and get them to open up. And if you think about that in business, when you might have to have a challenging conversation with a colleague, how much easier it tends to be, I find, from what people tell me and how I experience it, when you're walking side by side and you're together, you're more able to sometimes address some of those things. And sort of, you know, someone said to me in one of my sessions, my group sessions, a group walk, she said, it's almost like the words can just float away when you're outside. So the freedom of being able to speak, but it not be contained or written down or captured, it's just gone. And I think there's something really lovely about that for people. It opens stuff up.
Definitely, yes.
And the other thing, sorry, I was just going to say, I think that, you know, what I was thinking about when you were talking about running is sort of the ripple effect of things. So what I'm noticing about the ripple effect of this walking is when I take people on individual walks or group walks, is I'm noticing them going away and doing it in their own lives. So either they've built it into their routine, or they're going, okay, I can see how powerful this is to use in my own life, whether it's with kids or with colleagues. And one client said she uses it in business because she knows the route she can take, and she actually knows how long a route will take. And say she's giving her time to someone, but she wants to be quite contained about that time. She knows certain routes she can take, so she can have that conversation and almost get back before the allotted time is done. Because, and so she sort of respected her needs and her boundaries of getting the exercise, having the walk, having the conversation, but it's sort of, it can naturally close it by the, because you can see where you're getting back to the office or you're getting back to the start. There's something really lovely about that. And then another client said to me, she works in the NHS, and we all know the challenge and the stress of some of those jobs right now. She said that she went out with a colleague recently for a walk to have a meeting that she wouldn't have thought about having on a walk before doing this work with me. And she said it was like super productive because of, you know, they knew they had this time and they were out, and it was just a different way of being in relationship and a different way of having conversations.
If you're a coach listening to this and you want to join our mission to make life that little bit easier for working mothers, then we have a limited number of places available on our coaching partnership program. You'll get access to our community of thousands of mums interested in coaching advice, in-person support with your business development and marketing, and opportunities to create a valuable content library that resonates with your potential clients. Coaching can be a lonely business when you're on your own. We've got a supportive cohort of around 60 other coaches who can help you, and we bring marketing and communications tools and an active community of mums. I'm Jane, the founder of Careering Into Motherhood, and as a fellow female founder, I want to see your business thrive, and I want to help more women to access the game-changing powers of your professional coaching. Email me for more details, jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. That's jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. Now back to the interview.
I can imagine how it would be. I mean, you, especially as you say, for whether it's difficult conversations or even more creative conversation, you know, the number of times you get six people round a table and, you know, everyone's, you're just trying to think of ideas and your creativity blocks. But the idea of taking that outside or walking around, as you say, whether it's in a central of a town or in a more rural setting, I can imagine how it would be hugely impactful. Do you have any, you know, maybe one or two things that if somebody isn't able to stay work with you, but they're thinking this is a great idea, what is one or two ways that they could make an outdoor walk more impactful, whether in business or just for themselves?
So for yourselves, I think sometimes we instinctively reach for our headphones when we go for a walk, think, oh, it's a great time to listen to a podcast, say, or, you know, listen to some music. And I did my way, they're in the middle of Regent's Park. And the number of people that said on their way walking from the tube, they'd actually taken their headphones out and listened to the birds singing and appreciated nature. And they all arrived just in a really, like, they were very excited to get together, but in a quite a grounded and calm way. So I think sometimes just take them out. I think sometimes it's good to vary our walking routes. Maybe we get quite stuck in a, like, this is where we go, and this is, you know, we know how long this takes. Mix it up. I'm always a big believer in mixing up the energy and see, you know, how that changes things. I think notice what's around you. I've really noticed this. I'm much more in tune with the seasons because I'm out there the whole time. And I'm almost less like, oh, I can't wait for the weather to change. I can't wait for the sun to come, because I've just appreciated the weather for what it is. And actually, I haven't had this, I need to get out of the UK. I usually have that in sort of this, you know, post-January period up until sort of spring, summer. But because I've been out there, I've been more connected to it, and I haven't felt that urge to escape. So You know, I think there's something about just noticing and connecting and what is going on with nature, and vary your pace as well. Sometimes so telling with people, it's almost like we get to the gate to Richmond Park and some people just bolt and you're like, okay, what's going on? and then I notice people slow down over time of doing walks with me. And I think that's really good when our lives are so full on. You know, our tendency is to keep the same pace of life when we go and do other things, you know, the busyness of home or the busyness of work, and just have it as a space to slow down a bit, maybe. I think that movement piece and connecting to pace can be really powerful.
Yeah, definitely. And what are some of the things that people could perhaps take with them on a walk that they might not? You've talked about things that you should perhaps leave behind, but is it a case of just, you know, pulling on your trainers and going for that walk, or are there things you can bring with you that will help you get more out of it?
Sometimes I do it because I work on my own. I do like a Monday morning meeting with myself.
Do you? Do you?
Or sometimes it's a run. So it's like, I did like set myself a question sometimes, or just like, what do I want this week to be like? So it's almost using the walk to come up with new ideas. I mean, you said you did it with your running, and I sometimes think you don't need to go out necessarily with that intention, but stuff, when you allow it, I think stuff comes up. If you've got a particular problem, I think that's can be really interesting to take on a walk.
Definitely.
I'm a big believer of taking meetings on walks. Obviously, that's what I do, and that's what I'm encouraging others to do. And I think with that, you know, it might be a catch up with friends when you would normally go to a coffee shop, or, you know, go out for a drink or something, or be on the, can you do that as a walk? And what I'm really, you know, we can't always be in person with one another. Actually, I think sometimes our blocker is, well, it would be so much easier just to do it on the screen, but you can just take it on WhatsApp, or you can take it on a phone call. You can have a little video and then you can turn it off. I find that really powerful. And then some I've been encouraging some people to do, like, you know, difficult conversations or one-to-ones, and the blockers that come up are always like, well, how do I take notes? You know, how do I remember what to say? How do I capture stuff? And what I've done sometimes with my work is I've been sat at home at my desk and my coachee has been walking. So sometimes when I really want to listen and capture, so you can mix it up like that. You don't both need to be walking. And sometimes it's nice not to see someone, because then they have to explain what's going on, or you hear them calling the dog, and you can get a flavor for their personality and what's important to them by really listening to and observing through hearing it, what's going on. So I'm really encouraged to just experiment and play with what else you might be able to take on a walk. And I think that mixing up your routes, trying also to go out in weather you might not go out in. So the interesting thing with the marathon training is you're forced to go out, right? You have a reason to, and, you know, with the neuroscience of it, actually you get to a certain age, how do you keep that brain agile? Do different things, do stuff that might feel a little bit uncomfortable. So and there is also evidence to say that going out after the rain is really great as well,
really,
for you, for your mental health, for everything that gets released from nature after the rain has fallen, stuff that gets released from the mud. I don't claim to know huge amounts about it, but there's a lovely book called 52 Ways to Walk by Annabelle Streets. I love that her name is Annabelle Streets. But just in there, it talks all about different ways of walking and the benefits of walking.
Amazing, amazing. Yeah, I think I have to say that for me, it didn't really matter what the weather was, as long as, of course, you know, you wrap up accordingly, or, you know, you dress accordingly. You don't want to get cold, and it can actually be quite dangerous if you get very cold if it's been raining after a long run. But yeah, exactly as you're saying, it gave every run its own kind of personality. And that would be the same with, you know, run, walk, it's the same thing. But yeah, so the highs and lows and all the different wonders of British weather.
And the stories you can tell, because we love to talk about the weather, don't we?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. It's been brilliant talking to you. It's gone very, very quickly. And next time we should make sure that we are out in the open. But before we wrap up, what's one everyday coaching tip that you swear by?
So I'm a big believer in connecting to our energy and following our energy. So if you're at the stage where you're a bit disconnected from energy, really notice what energizes you and how your body, your whole body responds to things, not just your mind. And, you know, and I think when that comes to walking, that can be notice what happens to your body when you're outside, but also maybe notice the resistance in your body to going outside and maybe what changes. If you do challenge yourself to go out in something where your body is going, oh no, what happens? Maybe something magical will happen. So you can really notice.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Thank you. And just finally, where can people find out more about you and about working with you, Georgina?
So my website is walkwithme.coach, and that's also my Instagram handle, and I'm on LinkedIn at Georgina Gray. So yes, if anyone's interested, I'd love to hear from you.
And we should say as well, I mean, obviously you are based in Southwest London, but as you mentioned, you know, you do coach clients who aren't in the same park or in the same vicinity, and you also do walks in central London and things like that. So,
or I could, you know, turn up at people's offices and take them for a walk from their office door, you know, that works as well too.
Brilliant. Okay, so no excuses. Do get out there, and thanks. It's been brilliant talking to you today.
Oh, you are very welcome. Thank you.
I had such a light bulb moment today just talking to Georgina. It hadn't really occurred to me until now that I had subconsciously started to take myself outside and start running again as a way of unraveling some of the knotty problems that I was facing in my business. Being able to get outside where all the other noise, emails, things to do, the to-do lists, etc., were effectively switched off. It was just me on a path in the open air, and it really helped to focus my mind. I strongly suggest you give it a go yourselves. Please check out Georgina's profile on our website as well if you'd like to learn more about her work. Just search Georgina Gray, that's G-R-A-Y, over on www.careeringintomotherhood.com. That's all from me this week. I hope you'll tune in again next time. Thanks for listening.